All right, got a great Monday podcast for you here. We're going to go back into the Kevin Durant extension. We did the emergency pod on it last week, but figured it would be worth diving back into. It's just such a monumental moment, frankly, in Nets history for this kind of guy to be able to sign for the long term. Very excited about that. We're going to talk a little summer league basketball coming up as well. Plus, we got a packed group of podcasts this week. Adam got a ton of great guests on. We're going to give you a little taste of what that's going to look like. We're going to get into it all here in a second, but first, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Locked On Nets podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day. I'm Doug Norrie. That's Adam Armbreck. We're coming off a huge weekend just filled with contract news. That's what you love to hear, buddy, right? Contract news aplenty. How are we doing heading into a new week?
I want to know about the I's getting crossed and the D's and the T's getting dotted, as they say in legal jargon. Yeah, that's what we want. But the only time, obviously, as we know, is if you were under a rock or something, that you want to hear about contracts is when it involves Brooklyn Nets superstar, apex predator, the Slim Reaper, Kevin Durant, re-upping for another 4 years in Brooklyn, which is nothing short of amazing. It's awesome, and it's great to hear it, and we obviously touched on it last week, but it's worth reiterating. 4 years, $198 million. Big old check getting signed, and probably one that every single GM in every single league, every single time would write.
Yeah, there's not many times where a contract extension would warrant an emergency podcast on a Friday afternoon / evening, which is what Adam and I did. And if you didn't catch it, go back and listen, because we just spent, I don't know, 20 minutes worth of podcast time gushing about the contract. But when it's Kevin Durant, this is a situation where it does warrant a, hey, let's get on the phone, or in this case, on the pod. Well, both for us, because we just, you know, typically do most of our conversation. Most of the conversations you hear on the podcast are things that it's just basically a phone conversation between the two of us that we happen to record. But it's a situation where you jump on, because when you're able to lock up a guy like this for this long, it is something you really should sell. Like, this is when you've made it as an organization. If you can get these guys, these top of the food chain, the very best players in basketball, you know, historic level guys, generational dudes, this is what Kevin Durant is. This is not hyperbole. This is how good he is. When you're able to be an organization that can sell a player on staying with you for the long term, this is the whole goal. This is it. This is the entire thing. This is what you're trying to do as an organization, is to find the very best players, sign them for the long term, and know you have them. Because one, it makes it easier to build around. Two, they never come along, and to have them on your team is really kind of like the ultimate. This is the mountaintop. This is what Nets fans have always wanted. This is what every sports team wants, and they did it with Kevin Durant.
Yeah, and it's impressive too. I mean, to frame in a little bit different context even than we first discussed it, you know, there's no guarantee, right? We said when you sign Kyrie Irving, then you get Kevin Durant, and then you trade for James Harden, there was no necessarily guarantee that you were going to be able to bring these guys back on extensions. And, you know, you see this all the time, right? Kevin Durant was in Golden State, and he got to win some championships and play at a high level, and then he also decided to move on. There's a world where Kevin Durant re-ups with Golden State, and he's still winning championships there with Steph Curry and Draymond Green and those guys, and Klay Thompson, obviously. So the fact that this one season, really, when Kevin Durant was able to be on the court, but since signing with the Nets, that the organization did everything right, quote-unquote, by Kevin Durant's standards, right? You checked all the boxes so that when the opportunity came up, he was like, totally. I mean, you know, if the price is right, obviously, but yes, I want to be here. I want to stay a part of this organization. And something we didn't really get to on Friday was the piece where, you know, this takes until he's going to be 36, going on 37 years old. You know, there's a legacy piece to this of Kevin Durant is going to retire a Brooklyn Net. Like, he may be remembered once he retires as a Brooklyn Net, assuming that the Nets are able to win some championships here along the way, obviously. But that changes the perspective of what it is to have Kevin Durant on this team, and all three of these guys, if we assume they're going to come back together, that this is more than just you hired guns for a championship run. Now this is the a big chunk of your career will be played as a Brooklyn Net.
I think that's a great way to put it, about comparing it to how people have seemed to think about the hired gun aspect of the league. And we've seen this because there's been an incredible amount of player movement over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years that has sort of precipitated this idea that superstars want to get moved when the situation isn't great. And that is true. That it's a superstar-driven league, and these guys, in the end, want to dictate where it is they end up. So that part has become a narrative for the league. But what you've also seen, and you make a great point about sort of the long-standing legacy piece, is this group of guys who have found their way to the final destination, it does sort of seem like they're all going to stay there. LeBron goes to the Lakers. Mm-hmm. You know, he makes a couple stops along the way, Cavs, Heat, back to the Cavs, and then he chooses to go to the Lakers. He's going to end up being a Laker. He's going to retire a Laker. I think we all can agree with that. We see this with Kawhi. Spurs, Toronto, chooses his way back into the Clippers. He's going to probably end up signing the extension, and then he's probably going to just be with the Clippers. It's hard to see that path working out. Durant's the same way. It's like, I think they get a little taste of the moving around, and then they finally find the place where they want to stay, and that's where they're all ultimately going to end up. I think players have to go through this. Giannis is a little different. He's going to be a Buck for a while now, and they win the championship, so it's okay. But I do think the part where the player movement piece, the player empowerment piece, has become part of the narrative, but it's also a part where a lot of these guys are now just choosing to stay in the place where they chose, right? And Kevin Durant's part of that group as well. And so it helps be...
Because you don't get to dictate, right? Kevin Durant gets drafted at the time by the Supersonics and then ends up in Oklahoma City. Like, and listen, you're drafted in the NBA. It's a great victory for you. You've accomplished it. You're on the biggest stage. And also, you didn't get to dictate those terms. So a part of that is, right now I want to get a little taste here or a little taste there. In LeBron's case, it's kind of, well, I'm in my hometown and you try to gut it out for a while. But that's, I think, where you talk about the player empowerment of being able to move around and why guys ultimately sometimes settle places, and why you've seen a guy like Dame Lillard try to hang on. Steph Curry just signed his extension. He'll be a
Bradley
warrior.
Bradley Beal's doing it right now with the Wizards. Like, he's trying to stick it there.
Right. Is it, all these players are, you know, they're willing to stick it out in a certain place. And then if it doesn't look like it's going to work and the prime of my career is starting to either hit or I'm coming out of it a little bit potentially, now I'm going to test the waters. And in those waters, you can do kind of two things. And that's what Kevin Durant did. I'm going to go, quote, test the waters and also win championships. It doesn't mean that Golden State is my final destination, but it is a spot I can go to and win and make sure that I check those boxes. LeBron James, not different. I'm going to go to Miami, where I feel very confident I can win championships. And then from there, all right, I'll go back to Cleveland and try to get that job done as well. So I think it is that combination. When you're among the top elite players in the game, of how do I make sure that I do check the Hall of Fame boxes, the accolade boxes, and also find my way to a spot that's going to feel comfortable, because while I'm playing at the peak of my career, I also want to be enjoying myself. And I think it is a cumulative effect of the wear and tear, the wear down of trying to be the face of a franchise, it not going well or well, and feeling like your role or ability to control things is diminished until you find your LA, you find your Brooklyn, right? And then you're able to kind of establish yourself.
And again, this group of guys that we're talking about is about five deep total, right?
This isn't everybody in the league doesn't get to
do this. No. This is not everybody. This list is very, very, very short. And Kevin Durant is on this list and has been for a long time. And at that point, when you have checked, and for Kevin Durant, he's checked every box. He's won championships. He has been, considered to be, if not the very best, just tied with the very best player in the entire league. And at that point, you're just choosing the organization that you want to see it through with. You're choosing just to, where you want to stamp your legacy. The legacy is basically stamped, so it doesn't really matter. And at that point, it's where do I feel comfortable? Who do I want to play with? Who's going to follow me with this? I think we're going to see that also. So, yeah, this is all to say that, I don't know, I'm just... I think we gushed here. We've now gushed here for an emergency podcast and the beginning of this one. I'm just happy that from a person that does a Nets podcast that we're going to have Kevin Durant to be around here for the next few years, because that feels like
yeah, we're in good shape.
Well, I'll say this.
I know that was on Kevin's mind, by the
well,
way.
Well, yeah, I'll say this. When we started this podcast, that we started a podcast before we were on Locked On. We did another podcast about the Brooklyn Nets. Locked On was cool enough to find us, and you know, when the old guys were leaving. We were, you know, asked to join the network, and we were happy to do it. But before we started, so our take on this was pre Kevin Durant, because we came on, you know, after, you know, the beginning of the season, this past season. But when we were starting this podcast, part of it was on the hope that we saw that the Nets were choosing a certain path around the, you know, what we thought was going to be a great timeline. This is before KD and Kyrie signed, and I remember. The day they signed, I thought, we did it. We figured it out. we were we were ahead of this, because we knew the Nets were on a path, and you had already been a fan, and I was just a basketball fan, and just kind of, you know, we were kind of, you know, melding those two things together. But I remember the day that that happened, I was like, we made it. As a podcast, we made it, because this is when you get to cover Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and these guys as a podcast, that's just kind of what you're hoping for, and you hope to be there on the ground floor. We're going to talk more about this in a second. First, got to talk to you about our friends over at Stat Hero. 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose. It's an astounding number. Is it really that surprising, though? The game might be rigged against you. It's super hard to get in with these sharps. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, other experts out there. They have tools. They have time. Can feel like you don't stand a chance, go over to Stat Hero. It's the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero, they show you their lineup and dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. You name your stakes, winner take all. You're in total control. Stat Hero is DFS the way it was meant to be, one-on-one. Go to stathero.com/lockedon, just like our podcast network. Sign up for free right now. You can get three times back on your first play. They're giving you a 300% match. That's unheard of. Go to stathero.com/lockedon, stathero.com/lockedon.
All right, so after the Gush Fest, after we've just had a ball celebrating our own victory through Kevin Durant's decision to re-sign and extend with the Brooklyn Nets for another four seasons. As far as off seasons go, right, we got through the draft, we got through free agency, the Nets added a very nice piece in Patty Mills, brought back a couple of guys, as we know, in Bruce Brown and Blake Griffin, and then also we have James Johnson coming in the door, and Bembry too. So, and the, you know, smaller pieces, as we say. But now what gets interesting is, starting on the 8th and running through August 17th is the Summer League down in Vegas. And if you're like me and Doug, or Doug and I should say, who don't necessarily follow the college game as closely as we've started to since doing the podcast and ramping up coverage for the Nets and who they're going to take, now you'll also get to see these guys, because the Nets are putting every single one of their rookies obviously be playing down in Vegas, as well as Reggie Perry. As well as, make sure I don't forget, oh, Alize Johnson was the other big name of note that I thought on that roster. I know you're not going to be, you know, jumping for joy like you're watching Kevin Durant play basketball necessarily, Doug, but I mean, are there things that you'll look to hear about Summer League around some of these guys, maybe the rookies, maybe De'Ron Sharp and what he looks like? Is Cam Thomas playing a little more under control and facilitating more than anticipated coming out of college, those type of storylines?
All right, so I don't want to oversell this for the start. I didn't watch a single second of college basketball until I was doing draft prep. So I don't want to just give people the wrong impression. I don't want to give people the wrong impression about how I feel about college basketball, because I don't watch any of it, but I was happy to watch the tape. So this is all going to be pretty new stuff in terms of live game action for me. I'm definitely interested in it, though, because, one, Summer League, it begins to replicate NBA basketball a little bit better than college is going to, for sure. And there's a little bit more of a pickup game feel to it. Obviously, it's a showcase for some guys. It has that, in the past, at least what I've seen, it has the preseason football, or preseason NFL kind of vibe to it, which is, we all kind of know these guys aren't going to be there, and there's a few guys we really want to see, but for the most part, it's, we're serving the idea that, you know, we want to give guys a real look in terms of NBA action. We know that we definitely know the guys who are already on the team, and there's a bunch of guys that are also duking it out. And that piece of it feels, you know, like you're going to get a chance to see how guys can, like, sort of how they can adapt, how they can meld into the game. I'm not as interested probably in the. See, I know you're like an NFL guy where like the preseason stuff really
it gets me
like,
juiced, man. You can, I'm sorry, I can't help
you're
myself.
Like, oh, they, yeah, yeah. You're like, oh, you saw that kick return, right? Ooh, that guy's got juice. Like, we can, I could see this guy in the big blue. This guy can fill out the uniform. Like, it doesn't get that sense to me for it, but I want to see. I definitely want to see how the rookies are gonna interact in what looks like sort of like mini NBA action. There's a couple of guys that you're kind of like are kind of hanging on by the last threads that I, you know, it'd be nice to see them get another chance. I'm going to watch it for sure, but what I'm probably not going to do is take huge takeaways from big games. But I have a feeling that you probably think a little bit differently about this.
Well, okay. Well, I'll get excited. Like, you know, a big game from player X is going to make me go, well, now maybe you have him on the roster just to start the season, see what it looks like. But you said something there that I think would be the thing to watch for and something that would be legitimately worth getting excited about. And that's, so how does Reggie Perry, Cam Thomas, Da'Ron Sharp, Alize Johnson, let's say those four players, if you're talking about who could actually be getting minutes during the season for the Nets, how do they look together? Because these are guys that are, you know, feasibly going to be on the court with one another during the upcoming season. So if their chemistry looks good, if they seem like they have a nice rhythm with one another, then that's something you can hang your hat on a little bit in terms of saying, hey, we don't know what the minutes are going to look like, but when you do get out there on the floor, it looks like you guys are starting to figure out what the tendencies are and how to work well off of one another. That's probably a tangible thing outside, as opposed to if Reggie Perry's going for double doubles and I start freaking out telling you, get this guy in the starting lineup. I don't know what we're doing here. You know, why are we signing these vets? Right, this is Reggie Perry time. So I may do a little bit of that, but the way these guys work with one another, I think that that's something that you actually can take something tangible away to carry over.
Well, you can see certain tendencies that are going to happen with guys. Like, we're going to watch Sharp and how they use him, right? Like, are they going to use him, like, post up? Are they going to use him away from the basket? Like, is he going to be able to show off some of the stuff that we were kind of started to dream on when we heard Chad Ford talk about what he showed in some of his, you know, in some of his meetings with the Nets? Like, we're going to be looking for that for sure. We're going to look for some of that microwave scoring from Cam Thomas 100% because that stuff that's really going to translate. Alize, I mean, I think we kind of know what we have with him. He is a...
Is he gone? Is he in or out? Do you think, like, does he stick around? I'm jumping the gun here on this, but, like, do you think that with the signings this offseason, I mean, is Alize just on the outside looking in? Is he most likely to be put into a trade package down the road at some point?
I think he's probably out. Yeah. It's a shame too because we saw what he was able to do. He's one of these guys. I'm going to call him like a DFS hero. We were talking about stat hero a second ago, right? With DFS, like Alize Johnson's a DFS hero. He's a guy that won a couple people a ton of money in a couple of games where he was awesome, like the 2020 game that he had. Like he won someone $100,000, $200,000, right, on a DFS lineup because that stat line came out of nowhere and he was unbelievable. And you can see this from time to time in the NBA. If you follow long enough, guys will kind of appear with these lines and then disappear with them just as quick. Alize, super energy. You love to have him around. Is he great for the modern day version of what NBA basketball is? Not really. And we saw this with the other guys too. RSJ was like this, Rodney Hollis Jefferson, right? Like we've seen this before. It's come around with the Nets. He strikes me as probably that. And I wish it wasn't the case. It was awesome to watch, but nah, I don't feel like there's probably ultimately a landing spot for him. And I wish him, I hope that there is. Cause I hate framing stuff like this, right? Cause I hate talking head people that are like, you know, he's done or he stinks or whatever. Like, I don't think it's bad juju and it's just like not good analysis really. But in terms of what he brings, it probably isn't going to totally work. And I wish that wasn't the case anyway. So I don't know. Sorry to get everyone bummed out here about Alize Johnson, but
no, but it'd be cool to see. Like, I think he pops up somewhere else on another team somewhere else. And again, it's like, it's all circumstantial for a lot of these guys, right? You're on the Brooklyn Nets. They want to win championships right now. It's a crowded roster. It's about experience. It's about being ready, all those things. And this is where players end up shaking out off the tree. I mean, you know, a Jeff Green, right? He's a great veteran player. Gave us a great season. hey, listen, numbers, figures, spots, all that stuff, all of a sudden he's somewhere else contributing on another team. So there's, I think there's, that's the hardest part. You talk about preseason kind of energy and stuff. When I see a guy like that, it's that's always what it is. I'm like, oh, you're going to see him pop up somewhere else and he's going to be doing it. But one of the things I've learned this past season following a super team like we have is,
yes,
but what you need with your superstars is far different than what this player is capable of producing versus capable of producing in the role that you need him for.
See, and that's the bit that you touched on, the exact difference in what it is, right? There's a difference in between becoming or in like in becoming a super team. Excuse me, no. There's a difference in what it's like to be an up-and-coming team where you're able to just take these flyers and find someone that just kind of came out of nowhere, or, you know, get the guy that you sort of built from, you know, built from nothing or took off the scrap heap. That was a different version of the Nets. And that was super fun to be a part of, right? That was super fun to watch these guys that, you know, weren't, you know, pedigree sort of style talents that the Nets were able to build up from the ground up. Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, Jared Allen, then the list goes on and on and on. That was a different generation and iteration of the Nets. The Nets are no longer in the project phase. You need to have sort of like a more complete player. And this is just the journey that Nets fans are on right now. We're not in that mode of being super excited when we just find this guy that can play super hard and he just doesn't check all the boxes. At this point, when you're rooting for the Nets, these guys have to check all the last boxes and they need to be able to play. They basically play through the playoffs and play like through a championship team. And if not, you're going to be able to need to stem a bunch of minutes off the bench in terms of just saving the superstars from, you know, to making sure they're able to go for the playoffs. And I'm just not sure Alize is at that point, right? Like it was fun to watch when the Nets were really in dire straits in terms of just man minutes because they just didn't have any more. I don't think you can go into the season worrying about it. But again, this is just what happens when you're on this sort of level that the Nets are on. You're just rooting for a different thing now, right? We're rooting for a different style of player. And that player is more, can you play in the playoffs? Not can we get something for you in a trade, right? Because we're not showcasing players for trades anymore. We're just trying to fill out the roster. Like we're trying to fill out the roster and make sure we have enough to be there when it comes June of next year.
Alize, we hardly knew ye.
All right, we're going to get to what we have coming up this week, which is an absolutely loaded week of podcasts. First, got to talk to you about our friends over at Built Bar, very best protein bar on the market. Point stop, nothing even compares. If you've tried other protein bars, you know that it's going to be some combination. It's like a weird sponge, maybe a little cardboard, maybe a little bit of flavor. Not the case here with Built Bar. They focus on the flavors. They made the flavors the place to be, and that is what you get when you bite into these things. Coconut, Cherry Barcia, Grateful Dead shout out, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, German chocolate, cookies and cream, not ice cream flavors, actual protein bars that are actually good for you. And here are the stats: 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories 130 to 180. That's a sweet spot, baby. Only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all super healthy. If you're into the thin mint, go over and grab the grasshopper cookie. Official protein bar also of the U.S. track and field team. Go Olympics. Go to built.com and use promo code locked on, and you're going to get 15% off your order. Use the promo code locked on at built.com for 15% off. Built.com, promo code locked on, 50% off built.com.
Oh, yeah. And if you're doing that, you might as well do something else for us. And that's go ahead and use betonline.ag because it's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season, full throttle, teams fighting for wild card spots. And you can track all that action over on Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs beyond MLB, NBA, and NHL when they fire themselves back up in the fall. And of course, all your UFC and MMA action too. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams continue their deep MLB playoff runs. Head over to the website or use your mobile device, sign up today, and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts, promo code LOCKEDON. Before we deep dive into what is a jam-packed week of shows coming up here, you mentioned the Olympics. A little footnote here. Kevin Durant led the men's national team to a gold medal over France just a couple of days ago. That's how he celebrated. $198 million contract. He said, you know what? I earned it. It's a cheat day, and I'm going to give myself a little bit of gold. And he went ahead and had, you know, all-star performance on top of all-star performances for him relative to coming back to the NBA. I talked about this with Josh Lloyd. I just wanted to quickly ask you, is the barometer of how good, how transcendent a player can really be, is the fact that from the NBA to international play, things are a lot different, and it impacts players in a lot of different ways. It did absolutely nothing to Kevin Durant's game.
Well, this is the case that we made on the emergency pod about why Kevin Durant's game will age gracefully, right? Is because when Yes. when you can play basketball within any sort of context, right? Like there's some guys that and the Olympics were a good were sort of a good wake up call for some players. Now, for starters, from money, it only matters if you can play in the NBA. So I just want to be very clear about this right now. Like, so from ultimate skill level, the thing you would pick first would be, I want to be good in the NBA. I think every basketball player in the world would say that. So I don't want to downgrade whatever you get from, you know, being good in the NBA. That should be the most important thing. But after that, which is like a big but, because again, because I get all the other context. So I know that we're taking a but and then we're just throwing in 50 U's and 5,000 T's and then we get to the next point. But the part where your game translates to any style, doesn't matter the rules, hand check, you know, defensive 3 seconds, offensive 3 seconds, all this other stuff, you know, where the 3-point line is, the size of the court, all this stuff. When your game transcends all those other things, and we saw this from the Olympics, that there was a certain group of guys, Luka was like this too, was like, hey, it doesn't matter what the rules are, this guy's just going to be one of the best, right? So like, yeah. there's a group of guys that exists for, and when you can do both, it just means you are the very best basketball players, right? And so we saw certain guys in the U.S. team, and I don't want to get into this whole thing, but we saw certain guys in the U.S. team that were exposed on an international level because they couldn't do certain things that are really important on the international level. Kevin Durant was not one of those guys, right? The game translates his game, which is being one of the very best and be able to do all these great things on a sort of apex level, it translates perfectly. But I firmly believe, though, when you can be like that in both levels, it is like Dirk was like this too. It's why Dirk's game aged really gracefully, right? It's like, because when you're good on every different level, it means you can sort of just get old with basketball and still be worth it, right? And that's why when we look at Kevin Durant aging into a Brooklyn Nets uniform, is he always going to be in this level for basketball? No, of course not. Guys just get old. But is it going to ever just fall off a cliff? No. It's going to be good for so long because the game translates to every single possible component of basketball, and that's where Kevin Durant lands. And I think this Olympics was just a good reinforcement of that, which is to say he's good at every part of the game, and that part just doesn't get old fast.
Yep. No, I couldn't agree anymore. So it just felt like, right, just capping off what has been a heck of a summer for the Brooklyn Nets and for Kevin Durant individually. That being said, we said we want to provide context for the draft, some of these players that the Nets took. What does it mean for them in the short and long term, the offseason in general, free agency? And in that vein, starting tomorrow, so Tuesday's episode is going to have Rafael Barlow on. I talk with him. He's NBADraftJunkies.com, founder there. He's also on the Locked On NBA pods as well. He did the draft night coverage for the network. We're going to talk with him about Cam Thomas. We're also going to talk with him about Kessler Edwards and just the general way in which the Nets went about this offseason, some of what that looks like. On Wednesday's show, you're going to want to be there for Candace Cooper, who's on the Locked On ACC podcast. She's a former Tar Heel. She knows Dayron Sharp very well. And we'll come back in next week and discuss the interview that I have with her, because it reaffirms some unfortunate truths that you and I, Doug, thought could be realities. And this is kind of the theme of some of these conversations we had over the course of the upcoming shows. And then on Friday, it's John Karolis. We've had him on before, Locked On Celtics. He did draft night coverage as well, writes for the Boston Journal up there. It just a great conversation, kind of contextualizing and giving a little bit more I'll say expertise around contracts, the MLEs, the way that these things get structured, why it's worth it to tie yourself to superstars and to go the extra mile. All of these conversations happened before the Kevin Durant extension came out, so we're not going to dip into those waters, but these are phenomenal. It gives you a lot of context around some of the draft picks, the moves in general in the offseason, and it's phenomenal. So listen to every single one of these episodes. I had a great time talking with each and every one of them, and then I think you and I, Doug, will be back in next week to kind of break down and reanalyze some of what we take away from these guys across the network.
Oh, Adam did heavy lifting here. It doesn't take a detective to hear that Adam said that he was the one that did all these interviews. So Adam did some...
Doug was there. He was the silent partner. He was there every step of the way.
I was there in spirit. No, Adam absolutely put on a clinic just getting all these people on the podcast. I'm so excited for everyone to be able to listen to it. I'll do my very best to like try to make sure that this is like favored nations. It becomes equal out in the end, because right now it's obviously not. Adam, crushing, getting all these people, lining them all up. The podcasts are amazing. It's really kind of some stuff that you don't really hear every day too, in terms of sometimes it's all just, you know, patting everyone on the back and making sure it's all good. Some of these are not like that. So I'm really excited for everyone to hear this stuff, because Adam kind of held everyone's feet to the fire, and some people were very, very honest about what they thought some of the moves that were made here. So, yeah, no, it's an awesome week of podcasts coming up here. Adam crushed it. In the meantime, if you're going to listen to some other stuff, make sure you go check out the Locked On Bets podcast. Your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling are over there with daily picks, wrong team favorite picks, blowout specials. Lee Sterling's lock of the day as well. You can follow Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts. And obviously for us, make sure you rate and review the podcast wherever you listen. Like and subscribe. If you can write a review, that's great. As we get through the offseason, helps us build those numbers heading into next season. Like and subscribe, rate and review wherever you listen.
Oh, man, there's just something about summer. The promise that anything could happen. And in my case, it did. Doug Martin.
Oh, one of the all-time great poets. We'll be back again, tomorrow, and all throughout the offseason, talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.